I know I shouldn't say this, but. You ever started something with that? But you went ahead and said it anyway, didn't you? Typically, when we preface a remark with, I know I shouldn't say this, many times we shouldn't say it. This morning we're going to be talking about gossip, being a busybody, backbiting, tail-bearing, speaking evil, all of those associated sins. That's going to be the subject, really, of this morning's lesson and tonight's lesson. It's going to be in two parts. I thought it would be best to just kind of go ahead and give you a few examples to begin with. And the first few that I'm going to give could be very real. I haven't heard anyone here say anything like this, but I'm just sort of plucking these out of the air just to kind of give you an example of the nature of gossip. I'm not saying who, but someone here has been chatting online with someone they're not supposed to. I'm not saying who, but somebody's been up to no good. Let me tell you about Sister Betty. Sister Betty went up to the school the other day, and I mean she really lit into the teacher. She was upset about something the teacher said to her child, and I mean she... Now, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But from everything that I can gather, she was really heated about it. Remember when Lester came forward here a while back? You remember what he confessed, right? You know, I just kind of wonder, after hearing that confession, you kind of wonder maybe what else he's been up to. And if he'd do that, I just kind of wonder if... You reckon that was the only thing? Could there have been some other things maybe you think he needed to confess? All right, now here's one that might strike a little bit closer to home. I don't know if anyone is guilty of this, but I do know it would strike very close to home. It's ridiculous how long it has been with the elders on this building project. Man, you think about how long we've been planning this. That's ridiculous. Seems to me that there hasn't been a whole lot of leadership shown in regards to this whole thing. Again, that one strikes a little closer to home, right? Gossip can take on many different forms. As I said, we're not going to strictly talk about what the Bible describes as gossip. There's gossip, there's backbiting, there's speaking evil, there's the idea of being a busybody. And all of those, I'm not saying they're completely distinguished from one another, but we're going to do our best to bring out some of the elements of each and every one of those in the lesson today. And of course, as I've indicated, go in and talk about it some more. What we're going to do throughout this morning's lesson and tonight's lesson, we're going to go back. And I don't do an awful lot of this, as you know, but sometimes I believe it's very helpful. We're going to go back to some of the original Greek words that are translated in the Bible, gossip and busybody and speaking evil and so forth. I struggled all week in trying to come up with the best way to go about this lesson, but as I began to do some of these word studies, it just became apparent to me that we probably needed to share some of this, that we needed to kind of get some of this out, because I think it'll sort of narrow it down in some cases. And I think it will also kind of help us to remember some of these things a little bit more as we look at some of those words in the original. The first one we want to consider is periagos. And I did go back and look up the pronunciation for all of these, but I have forgotten most of them. I should have put the pronunciation guide up here, and that way I would do a little bit better job. But you see it up there on the screen. That particular word is translated busybodies in 1 Timothy 5:13. And it's also, curiously enough, translated at least in the New King James, magic in Acts 19 and verse 19. I believe the New King James instead of the King James instead of magic there has curious arts. Talked about those in Ephesus who practiced curious arts. And it's kind of odd, isn't it, that one place a word would be translated busybodies, in another place it would be translated magic or curious arts. And perhaps as we look at this a little closer, maybe we can get an idea of why that's the case. There is another form of that word, periagosme, and that's translated busybodies in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. Now, before we talk some more about the meaning of these words, there's a reason why I started with this one. What would you think that would be? Why would we start in talking about gossiping and backbiting and tail-bearing and so on? Why would we start with this one? Because many times this is one of the root causes. Okay? In other words, we minding other folks' business more than we ought to. We're not busy enough ourselves, and so we've got time to meddle in other people's matters. We know more than we ought to know, just to put it bluntly. And so that's kind of the reason we're starting with this one this morning. Look at the prefix to those two words. P-E-R-I, peri. It means around. Strong defines this word. Really, both of them kind of basically have the same idea since they're different forms of the same word. Working all around, meddlesome. Can you think of some words in the English language that start with P-E-R-I? See, we borrowed from the Greek language some of our own words. How about the word perimeter? P-E-R-I-M-E-T-R. What is perimeter? It's the border. It's the outlying area of something, right? And so it's working all around. You're going all around the perimeter. And perhaps that might explain why it's translated magic or curious arts in Acts 19, because it's kind of out there on the fringe, right? I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but perhaps that's the explanation for that. But you're working the room. You're working the crowd. You're working the community. You're working the congregation. You're all around. You're all around the perimeter. Now, that's the basic idea in being a busybody. Now, here's going to be sort of the method that we're going to follow. We're going to look at each one of these words, and before we go into the next one, we're going to draw some conclusions from what we've just seen. And that's what we want to do from these meanings right here. The point that we can derive from this particular word study and from the passages that are mentioned here, the point the Lord wants to get across is very simple. Mind your own business. The Lord is very emphatic about that. Mind your own business. Let's look at some passages on that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. And we'll start with verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Give some emphasis there to leading a quiet life and minding your own business. And he said, now wait a minute. Look over in chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at what he says there. He says, exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. How can you do that? How can you warn the unruly, for example, if you don't know who they are, if you're not paying attention? Well, the Lord's not saying there in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we bury our heads in the sand. There are obviously things that we're going to become aware of, areas in which we can help. But we're not going out looking for things. And we're certainly not, and this kind of gets at the root of the problem, and we're certainly not anxious to find things. And there are people who are anxious to find things out. And that is anti-Christ, isn't it? If we're anxious to find things. So, again, there's some balance here. I certainly understand that. But we need to be careful that we don't jump over into the busybody side where we're actually beginning to meddle in other people's affairs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. You remember the problem there in Thessalonica, right? It seems to be addressed in both of the letters. They had all these concerns about the imminent return of the Lord, and so because they were so concerned about Him just coming at any time, some people had just stopped working. You know, they're going to get themselves ready for it. You know, they weren't going about their day-to-day activities. Well, there's some strong words for these people. Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." There's that para word, okay? The ones that we looked at a few minutes ago, the working all around the perimeter and so forth. "Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." And so if we were to say, well, why is it that some people are prone to gossip? It would be that they have too much time on their hands. That's one of the warnings we give our children a lot, right? You know, you need to stay busy. You get too much time on your hands, you're going to get in trouble, right? Well, it applies to children. It applies to adults. It can be a very serious thing. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Here we have instructions given to widows, and here he's talking in particular to the younger widows. And you look at the instruction that he gives them and why he tells them to do this. Verse 13, "Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about." This is after he's advised them to marry. "And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering," "wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." And then the very next verse, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry." Too much time on your hands, you're going to start going over here and going over there and talking to this person and talking to that person. And pretty soon, some things are being said that ought not to be said, as he uses the phrase here. Another passage in the Old Testament, Proverbs 26 and verse 17, relates to this idea of being a busybody. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears." And I believe we see the point of that, right? Meddles in a quarrel not his own. Now, that can have many applications, can it? It could be the quarrel within some other family. It could be the quarrel within some other organization. It could be the quarrel within some other congregation. But because we have tremendous confidence in our ability to resolve problems. We think, now, I'm the one that could go in there and get that worked out. I can help this family. I can help that congregation over there. And there may be times, depending on the circumstances, and especially depending on whether or not you might be asked to help, there may be times when that's legitimate. But there also may be many other times when we need to just butt out and let them work it out, because there's just no way we can know everything that they know. So we have to really be careful about becoming meddlesome, about becoming a busybody. Remember the word in the original, the P-E-R, working all around, working the crowd, working the room, working the congregation. You're out there on the edges, knowing what all is going on. That's not the spirit the Lord would have us to have. All right, now let's go on and look at another word in the original. Fluoris. That's translated gossips or tattlers, depending on which translation you have. In the passage we read just a minute ago there in 1 Timothy 5, in verse 13, the widows there that learn to be idle, going about speaking as gossips, busybodies, and so forth. And this is the only occurrence of this particular word in the New Testament. Strong says that fluo, the first part of this word, means to bubble. That's interesting to me. It means to bubble. How do we describe some people's personality? We describe some people's personality as real bubbly. And that can be complimentary. I understand that. But it can also mean that they just talk too much. Sometimes it's a polite way of saying they just talk too much. And there are plenty of people, and we may be included in that, who talk too much. The Bible has a lot to say. Between talking and listening, which one does the Bible put the premium on? You've read through it, Old Testament, New Testament. There's a tremendous premium placed upon listening. That's really kind of how you learn, isn't it? You learn by listening. We should spend a whole lot more time. You know, the old adage about how we've got two ears and one mouth, there's a reason for that. Good way to remember it anyway. Thayer says, a person's uttering or doing silly things, garrulous. Now, a garrulous person, are you familiar with that word? It means someone that just is going on and on all the time, just talking a lot. Babbling of things foolish, trifling, vain. So, really, the word that's translated gossip there in 1 Timothy 5:13, yes, it could be things of a serious nature that should remain secret, things that you're telling that really ought not to have been told, but it seems like the emphasis of the word is just talking about silly things. Things that don't amount to a whole lot. It can take on that as well. So here's a conclusion that we can draw from what we gather here. Talk less. That's an admonition we all need to heed. Brian Gibson needs to heed it. Well, you need to heed it. Talk less. And when you do, make sure you got something to say. Make sure there's some substance to it. Look in Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Unless I'm missing something here, the idea seems to be that the more you talk, the more chance there is of saying something that you ought not. The more you talk, the more chance there is of sinning. And so it just makes sense to say a little bit less. That kind of cuts down on the opportunities, doesn't it? That's the idea. It's not really that difficult. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. Proverbs 17, beginning in verse 27. I've often thought this would be a good thing to put on the end of your email. You know, every time you send out an email for people to read this passage. You know, I'm not saying it's the only one. You might want to change it up from time to time, put something else, but this would be a good one. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. This goes counter to every effort that's being made today. These online newspapers now. And I understand it to some degree, but they used to not have the opportunity to comment as readily as you do now. But now at the end of every article, you've got the opportunity to comment. Go sometime and read one of the major headlines to the Montgomery Advertiser, the online edition. And then just click on the comments. You know as well as I do that 95% of them are not worth reading. It's ridiculous. Silly. They're just ranting and raving and just mad as they can be. There's no reason to it whatsoever. So we want everybody talking. That's the emphasis now. We want everybody. Let's get everybody talking. And at the same time, the Lord said, let's get more people listening. More people talking is not always a good thing. Need more people listening. There is a premium put on that, certainly in the New Testament. James 1 and verse 19. James 1 and verse 19, we're probably very familiar with this passage. Kind of the clincher to this particular point. James 1 and verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Remember that word that's translated gossip, to bubble up. You're garrulous, you're talking all the time. And so, think then of those passages that warn you about talking all the time. And again, how there's this premium put upon listening. All right, let's look at one other word in the lesson this morning, and we'll finish up tonight with the others. This one's very interesting to me as well. And I really can't remember exactly how you pronounce that, but Sethiristus. And that's probably not all that close, but this word is translated whisperers or gossips. In Romans 1 and verse 29, again, depending on the translation. And you may have a translation that even has a little bit different word than that. Another form of that same word, you see it there, is used in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. And there Paul talks about how he fears that when he comes back to Corinth, that one of the things that he's going to find among them are these whisperings, that this is going to be going on still. Among the brethren. He's fearful of that, is the emphasis in that passage. Well, Thayer says that the word means a whispering, that is, secret slandering. He says it's also used of the magical murmuring of a charmer of snakes. This word is an example of, do you remember this in your English classes? Of course, those of you who are still in school remember it better than some of the rest of us. You remember onomatopoeia? Remember that? Best to give you an example, you know, that quack. Quack. It's an example of onomatopoeia. It sounds just like, or the word is just like the sound that it makes. Quack. It's an example of onomatopoeia. One of the things that's interesting to me about that is, when we want to whisper something to someone, what's the common way that we get their attention? Psst. Psst. See that? Psst. 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 That's how we start. All right. And so a good way to remember the idea here from this word about the whispering. All right, let's draw some conclusions from this. Here's, I guess, a simple way to put the admonition that we can derive from the word study and from reading the various passages. If it's not supposed to get out, don't let it out. If it's supposed to stay in the can, keep it in the can. And sometimes you say, well, that's a little bit difficult to determine sometimes, isn't it? Well, yeah. But sometimes we know it's not supposed to. But there's that eagerness, there's that anxiousness, and we're just going to bust if we don't say it. Really, that's the truth, right? It's hard to admit. I mean, here's something negative about somebody. Here's some bad news, but let's be honest. We're about to bust to get it out. Now again, that's anti-Christ. That's totally against His Spirit, but we're about to bust. We got to lead the way. There's that get the scoop mentality. You know. I never have quite understood completely why we got to give kudos to the first person that gets it out. Especially if it's a bad thing. But we get caught up in that sometimes. If you don't say it, they can't repeat it. In other words, if it stops, you don't spread it any further, then nobody else can repeat it. Good way to think about it, right? Sometimes it may be something that somebody's done against us. Matthew 18 and verse 15 certainly addresses that. Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So don't spread it to everybody else first. Go and make sure you've talked to him about it. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Great passage, because you see both sides there, right? You see the contrast between somebody who can't keep a secret and someone who is trustworthy, reliable, who can keep something from spreading further than it ought to. Obviously, if you're having to whisper it, then it's probably supposed to remain a secret, right? It's not supposed to get out. That's the idea behind it all. A fellow named Pierre de Marivaux. It's been a long time since I took French. I did have one semester of it, but he said, some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them. Right? And there's a passage in the Bible that confirms that. Proverbs 18 in verse 8. Proverbs 18 in verse 8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. How do we sometimes describe a piece of gossip? A juicy piece of gossip. A juicy piece. And I mean, we just lick it up and it's just so, tastes so good. I love to hear that. And so the news travels fast. And what gets so silly is, you know, then people kind of delight in telling it to others, and that, you know, if somebody pressed them, they might give credit to someone else, but now they want to tell it like it's something that they discovered on their own too. You know, it's kind of like I'm the first one. Now, you know, again, if pressed, you know, they'll admit it, but that's the way it works. Tasty trifles. We got to make sure that we examine anything that comes to our attention very carefully. if there's no good reason to get it out there, then we need to keep it under wraps. If nothing is to be accomplished by repeating this, then we need to keep quiet. Now, we're going to talk some tonight more in terms of the speaking evil part, because we need to bring that in. There's some passages that talk about speaking evil of others. We're going to concentrate more on that this evening. We're going to discuss in some detail tonight that there are times when negative things need to be said. Somebody I saw in studying this week, somebody said that gossip is something negative said about someone behind their back. That's not a good definition. Paul said something negative about Hymenaeus and Alexander. Well, I don't get, maybe not necessarily behind their back. They could read the epistle, but he didn't get permission from them, I don't believe, to write that. But he had a good purpose in mind, didn't he? He needed to warn those brethren. There was a good spiritual purpose behind him saying these negative things. And Hymenaeus and Alexander weren't the only ones. He mentioned some other people too. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. So we'll get into that some more in the lesson tonight. But don't forget what we studied this morning. And perhaps we'll run through it quickly tonight before we get into the other points. Go ahead and get out your songbook now, and we'll sing the song of encouragement here in just a moment. If we can assist anyone this morning in making your life right with God, what a wonderful thing it would be if you came in today with your life not right, to leave today with it being right and your soul being secure. Wouldn't that be a great thing? And if we can assist you in any way, whether it be assisting you in your baptism into Christ for the remission of your sins or making confession of your wrong, we are here to help you. So please come as we stand and sing.